Welcome back to Talk to Me with the Coach, Mike Reed Maintenance. We're on the road once again, take you youngsters behind the scenes. And I got the man here himself, Dusty Baker.
Thank you. How we doing? I'm doing fine. Just sitting out here looking at this rain and hoping that we get to play today.
Well, first of all, I want to congratulate you, a late congratulations on your World Series championship.
Well, thank you. That was a long time coming. And, I was playing for my mom and dad, actually, as well as my team here, because my mom died last January. My dad died like 12, 13 years ago, you know, who was my coach, coming up. He was strict on us, but he I needed it.
And, so you got that twitch, huh?
Yeah.
And you been took to the woodshed, huh?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I didn't get to the woodshed,
He was strict.
Oh, yeah. And, my dad was, he believed in being firm but fair. Mm-hmm. And now that I look back, whatever chastising that I got, I didn't think then that I deserved any of it, but I deserved, all of it. And there were times when I thought I was pulling the wool over my dad's eyes.
He was two steps ahead of you.
Yeah, and I didn't know it. And he would tell me later that, hey, man, I remember you did this or did that. And one of my dad's favorite sayings, you got to get up pretty early in the morning to pull the wool over my eyes. And he was not lying. And see, my dad cut me from his little league team. When I was 8, 9, and 10, because he said I had a bad attitude. And my dad said, if I could take that bad attitude and put it in the bad direction, in the proper direction, that I could be something one day. And my dad was, a lot of guys, little league team, Riverside, California. He's Bobby Bonds' little league team, little league coach, who was 4 or 5 years older than me. And I was trying to be like Bobby and following Bobby Bonds around. And I was some guy to follow, but the life's lessons that I've learned, I've tried to take them, to my players and to my son and relatives and all the young men and women out there to try to help them, help their course to, to achieve something and to be something in life.
Well, you was the pride and joy of the world when you were on that World Series title.
Yeah, I know. Hey, you just don't know how many people have told me, man, they cried, and grown men, or how much they were pulling for us. I really didn't have any idea, especially African Americans. My people were super happy. Or people were like, hey, man, I don't even like the Astros, but I was pulling for you. And that positive
say
thought
no
process.
More. That's all I mean.
Yeah, that positive thought process, goes a long way.
Well, Dusty, you had some longevity in this game. You've been around a long time. Mm-hmm. What are some of your most fondest memories?
Probably being with the Braves, with starting with the Braves, because I didn't want to go to the South. I'm from California, and when I signed 67, we had a bunch of racial unrest in this country. We had a bunch of nonconformity, anti-Vietnam, anti-everything, and I prayed that the Atlanta Braves wouldn't draft me, but that ended up being the best thing that ever happened to me. Going to the South, I learned, what it was like to, be a young black man. And also I had a guy directing me, a couple guys directing me at that time through life. Number one was Hank Aaron, who promised my mother he would take care of me as if I was his son. And number two was my roommate, Ralph Garr from Grambling, Louisiana, who taught me, the do's and don'ts of, if you want to survive, but maintain your dignity as a man, especially a black man in the South. And then I got traded to my favorite team as a kid, the LA Dodgers. Mm-hmm. And I grew up idolizing Tommy Davis. I ended up wearing his number, ended up being, him being, my mentor and one of my good friends. And so, the fact that as a kid you grow up wanting to be something or a baseball player. Well, I didn't really want to be a baseball player. I really want to be a basketball player.
That was before Michael Jordan.
No, I wasn't no Michael Jordan, but I was pretty good. But the thing about it is that, God had a different plan, place for me in life, mm-hmm. and in history. And at that time, as a young kid, you don't even think about what you're destined to do. Mm-hmm. And everything worked out for me. Last year was a culmination of my career, you know, winning the championship. And so this year I'm trying to be like another guy who took care of me when I first signed was Cito Gaston.
Cito.
Yeah, and Cito's older than me, and he was on the team with me in Austin, Texas, my first stop. And I talked to Cito quite often, and, you know, I told Cito, and he's pulling for me to, you know, to win that second one and then win it back-to-back. So, you know, I got a lot, you know, like I'm, you know, I'm motivated. I'm self-motivated, but I've had a lot of people along the way that, you know, helped kept me motivated.
You know, I interviewed Cito a few years back when he was still with the Blue Jays, and you know, he talked about his relationship with Willie Mays and Hank Aaron. I mean, and I understand you have a great bond and relationship with those guys as well.
Yes, I do. And I called Willie the other day on his birthday. You know, not real healthy, but he's still here.
Yeah.
And you know, and Bobby was the one that really introduced me to Willie Mays because Bobby was on the Giants at the time. And like I said, you know, Bobby was my prep school hero. And then you think about the things that they went through and the things that they, you know, passed on to us. And my dad, I didn't want any part of coaching at that time. And then my dad told me that I never forget, he said the Lord wouldn't have put me in that situation to been around so many greats, especially you know, like Mays and Frank Robinson and Hank Aaron and Cepeda and all these guys, to take the knowledge that they gave me to, you know, run off somewhere in the woods with it, and it wasn't mine to possess, but it was mine to pass on, and I've tried to do that.
All right, let me give you a couple more questions. I won't hold you too long. You know, we got a new generation coming up. When I interviewed Maury Rios, he talked about.
Yeah, Maury is a good friend of mine, too, yeah.
He talked about he spent 8 years in the minor leagues chasing a dream, all because Jackie Robinson made it to the big leagues. I mean, what about this new generation of ball players, and more importantly, African-American ball players that's coming up that don't know nothing about that generation of ball players?
Well, I don't really blame the generation or blame the, you know, like Bob Marley says, you don't blame the children. You know, I blame, you know, the parents, baseball, and a generation before them for not passing along the history to them. Because I don't know about you, one of the classes that I disliked the most coming up was history, because I thought it was boring. You know what I mean? Yeah. And until I became a man. And then you see that how important history is, so that it doesn't repeat itself, that, you know, it's not the children's fault. You know, it's, and I try to tell my guys all the time, you remind me of this guy, or have you heard of this guy? And I tell you, about 80% white, black, Latin, they tell me no. Who is that? And like we were in Tampa the other day, Fred McGriff came to see me. And they asked me, you know, who's that guy? I said, that's Fred McGriff. And I said, he's in the Hall of Fame. He said, really? When did he get in the Hall of Fame? Like last week. You know, it's like, it's again, it's not their fault. You know,
well, like, don't. Major League Baseball and black ball players kind of bear some of the blame for not catching that torch on.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's why I blame the most, you know. Not the torch necessarily, but the information. You know, it's like, hey, man, look up this guy, because we're in a state, we're in a generation of information. If you want information, you can go find something about anybody. I mean, they look up information to see if whoever girl they're talking to in the bar, or vice versa. You know,
you can't say that.
Yes, I can. Oh, yeah, that's how it is. Yeah. I mean, people can look you up within seconds.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So hey, the information's there. We just have to direct them, you know, to the information.
So, you know, I used to coach college baseball, scouted for five major league teams. Every kid's dream of playing in the big leagues. Dusty, you played in the big leagues, you coached in the big league, you managed in the big leagues. How do you want this game to remember you?
I don't know. Like my dad, you know, firm but fair. You know what I mean? I try to. And us as African American, especially coaches, we have to be more fair with everybody than anybody.
Yeah.
You know, because like, you know, the coaches of, and managers of non-color don't have to be as firm or fair because nothing's going to be said. Mm-hmm. You know, they're showing favoritism to this guy or that guy. But for us, you know, if you show favoritism, they're like, oh, yeah, well, you're favoring this guy. Well, maybe I am. But if you show favoritism, like I tell, you know, the young players, you know, how I can show favoritism to give you the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what's lacking a lot of times, the opportunity. Ain't nobody going to give you nothing,
yeah.
Whether it's baseball, whether it's in life or business or whatever. But if you get the opportunity, now it's up to you to do the most that you can with the opportunity.
Yeah. And I mean, we go so many different ways with this conversation, but I'm trying to be politically correct.
Why? Why?
Because we're shrinking in this game. But
yes,
another show, another time.
Yeah, yes, we are. I mean, you know, it's like, hey, and you got to pass information on because, man, every day, you know, I got friends and like the other day we lost Vida Blue.
Yeah.
The other day we lost Deacon Jones.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and you know, and if we don't, you know, we don't spread the wealth and information, then they'll be, you know, lost forever.
As a matter of fact, a friend of mine called me the other day to tell me about Deke. I didn't know you even knew Deke.
Oh, man.
Well, he's kind of a legend in himself.
Oh, yeah. I've been knowing Deke since I first started this game. And, you know, I mean, yeah, because back in the day, everybody knew everybody of color.
Yeah.
Because we had to depend on each other, whether we're in their town or they're in our town.
Yeah.
You know, for places to go, for places not to go, for places to eat, for places for entertainment. And so, you know, it was a society within a society.
Dusty, you're a walking legend. You know that, a walking history book.
not really. I just got good memory.
There you go.
All right.
Coach with Dusty Baker. Appreciate
all right,
it.
Man.